This is a recording of the second 1 minute plunge meditation session held on Saturday, June 18th, 2022, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. There were about 25 participants. There's some minor editing, including the removal of a number of long silence periods. I've removed the 1 minute of silence during the plunge, as well as silent periods in the post-plunge period. Okay, so where I was going to explain about the framing of it. So the first thing will be like a little explanation of the particular thing we'll be doing, one of these little meditations. And then and the main caveat I have is that I'm not trying to impress upon you my experience, but just to open that door, just to point at something. And then I'd explain it widely enough, the way my take on it, so that at least you get in the right ballpark, so that we're all kind of in the same area. But really, there's a lot of room for individual experience, and I'm not trying to push my experience on you at all. I just want to make that really clear. Okay. And then there's the pre-plunge preparation. And that is a little different this time, just in the way I articulate it. It's basically the same thing. What you do is you collect all of your energies and your focus so that you're ready to do the plunge. It's kind of like climbing up the ladder on a diving board and walking right to the edge, ready to jump. And so you don't do the plunge before that. That would be more like a water slide into it. Instead, it's a plunge. You jump into it. Okay. So, and there's three areas that I focus on: body, speech, and mind. These are kind of traditional. Body is like, get your body straight, get your spine straight. There's a reason why all the pictures all the time when they show somebody meditating, they're all in this basic meditation posture. It's because over centuries of experimenting, they find out it works the best. Opens channels, you know. It allows you to relax, it allows you to be centered and focused and grounded, and there's a whole lot of reasons why people have these meditation postures, you know. And it could be on a chair, of course, or it could be on your cushion. So what you do is you make your spine nice and vertical. It's not like doing it from a barca lounger or being depressed and all crunched over. The shape of your body often affects the quality of your mind. And the quality of your mind goes the other way, affecting the shape of your body. So what you do is you get very nice and centered, grounded, vertical spine, poised. And you also open up all the channels through relaxing different parts. Relax the muscles of your face and relax your throat. The vagus nerve, which is your sympathetic nervous system, goes right to your throat. A lot of people hold their energy in their throat and in their face. And, you know, your lungs, your heart, they're all connected to the same autonomic nervous system. So you want to just make sure that you've got a kind of, at least the intention to relax that, and to kind of do what you can, wiggle around a bit, whatever it takes, to just be really present in your body. Then there's speech, body, speech, and mind. Three sections to this pre-plunge preparation. And that is, speech is you kind of abandon the idea that you're going to do this intellectually and that you're going to let go of the conceptual mind a bit. You're going to actually have this experience as opposed to figuring out and, you know, like inner dialogues and stories. You're going to kind of let that go, verbalizing it in your mind. What you're going to do, just do the minimal amount of verbalizing to help you get a sense that you're focused on the thing itself. And a lot of people have a big commitment to being able to verbalize things. And this is an encouragement to not be so verbally tied, to just have an experience, inner experience. And body, speech, and mind. And the mind is the idea of being focused, being one-pointed, being present, have everything, you know, lined up and ready, sort of on the edge of the diving board, ready to go. Then I'm going to ring the bell. I'm going to ring the bell now so you'll hear the sound, and make sure that I want to make sure that everybody can hear it okay. How was that? Anybody have a problem with that? No problem. Okay, that'll be the loudness of it. And then at the end, and so I do the timing. You don't have to worry about the time. There'll be a beginning bell and an end bell. And when the end bell happens, then the 1 minute plunge is done. Okay, but so then there's the post plunge practice, and the post plunge practice is where you let it, whatever happened during that 1 minute, let it sink in. Don't just leave it behind. You let it sink in. It's sort of like you notice what happened by doing that. You know what I mean? You just like let it, and in terms of neuroplasticity, you allow those dendrites and synapses to arrange themselves so that that's it sinks in. It sinks in. Over time, when you allow things to sink in, it becomes easier to access those things because the neural nets are established on a physiological level. So it means you'll have access to deeper states if you let a meditation sink in. Some teacher once said, you start a meditation, but you never end. You never end a meditation. I get that. You don't want to just say, well, that was that, now I'm going to go on and be what I was before. You know, you want it to sink in. You want it to do something and apply in your life. Okay? And then there's this idea of journaling, which can occur in that between any 2 1-minute plunge things. You can write some things down if you wish. It's optional. But a lot of people like to do it. And that's really the communication part of it. This isn't really a communication. This is not like an enlightenment intensive where you have a single tersely arranged set of words like, who am I? We just know through our understanding what the subject of our 1 minute plunge is. And then it's not about the words as much as this sort of, you get it, you know what I mean? Viscerally, you get what it's about. And so, let's see. And so then there'll be like a little time, and we'll do each one twice. The first one we do, as kind of getting to know it, learning how to do it. And the second one is we can go deeper with it because we've already been through that once, you know. And it isn't like there's only supposed to be 2. There could be as many as we want, but just today we'll just do 2. We'll do the thing, and then there'll be this post-plunge process of letting it sink in, maybe a little journaling, and then we'll do it again, the same one. And then we'll go on to the next one, okay? So there's not a lot of time to do journaling. It's just a few words, a couple of sentences, because we'll be just moving along. So if you get too involved in writing it down, you maybe miss the discussion of the next one. So I selected a few. The first one is going to be find the sound that is the closest thing to silence. That means that, don't do it yet, but just understand that there's, you know, in the preparation for contemplation, which most of you are at least a little familiar, there's a sense of going to silence. Like you find that within your mind, within your being, you find that area that is silent, and you make a connection to that silence in an inner experience. Well, this is to find the sound that is closest to silence, which is kind of tricky, but it really does some interesting things. So that'll be our first one. Okay, so get your body. This is the 3-point thing where the pre-plunge, getting ready. So get your body like really ready. Be sure to be relaxed and just allow anything. Don't have a crusty aspect to your mind. Just have it really open. You're going to get an experience. And abandon to some degree your intellectual processes, your thinky-thinky, figure-figure stuff, because you're going to have this pure experience, and get really concentrated on it, and be ready. And you should be right at this precipice now, ready to plunge. You're getting ready. And when you hear the bell, you do the plunge. All right? begin. 1 minute. Now just see what happened from your doing that. Any change of state. Just get what's different. Let it kind of sink in for a moment. Just, you know, a moment, not too long. There's a kind of freshness of the experience, so you let it dissipate naturally. I wouldn't want to be creating anything at this, but just noticing. In a way, this is like looking at a point of creation as something emerges from nothing. So it has this, this is the, where creation begins, sort of. There's something that you experience by doing that. It's just kind of an unusual thing to be so inwardly focused in experiencing something like that. But you know, sometimes our minds start to go in and start a conversation about it. It's interesting to see what, if that happened, what conversation emerged at that point. You know, it's kind of spontaneous, like, you know, the inner dialogue. Because that's where you're at with it, is what you think about it. So there's self-knowledge, there's a mirroring that goes on at that point. All right. All right, so let's do it again. Let's try it again. Find that your body is nice and settled. Make sure your breathing's nice and open, you know, that your throat chakras are spinning happily, that you're with the body in a relaxed state, that you've kind of turning your back on the discursive aspect of mind, all the speech, conceptual mind, let that go. You're just going to be present, you're going to be fully present. Mind is fully present, and everything is like you're really right here, and you're on the edge of this diving board. And when you hear the bell, you will plunge into finding the sound that is closest to silence in your inner landscape there. Okay, you ready? Get ready, get really poised for this. Poised. Begin. Post-plunge, notice the condition of your inner landscape at this moment, your subjective field. See what's there. This unique moment in your consciousness. Notice what it is, what it's like. I'm not pushing any particular state, I'm just saying be aware of it, of your own. That's what happens when you try to hear the sound closest to silence. That's the effect, whatever it is for you. How authentic can you be noticing the state you're in right now? You know, how simple and honest it can be. And if you want to write something down, you can. It would take a couple of minutes to do that, say 2 or 3 minutes. We just be here, relax. I'm going to kind of skip around the list here. A little bit arbitrary, but you can do any of these anytime you want, and you can make them up, you know, just from things you've heard, teachings you've heard, and do a plunge on it. It's not like this is a definitive set, this group of 25 that I come up with. Culture does not promote doing nothing. In fact, there's a lot of guilt around doing nothing. So this one is utterly permitted. You could do absolutely nothing for at least a minute without getting in trouble. Doing absolutely nothing. The last time I mentioned that, Master Subramunia, this guy I studied with in the early 70s, mid-70s, I was teaching a mantric language called Shum. And mantric language means that the sounds of the language represents in some way the concept or the idea that it points to. So the particular one that seems to apply here is this one of something going away without any residue, something disappearing from the inner landscape, from their subjective sphere, with nothing left over. And the mantric sound is im. It starts out e, like e, with a long thing on the top, the hard e, and then m, im. And I remember practicing that by turning a light off, and the light would go im, like that, im. So the idea is a disappearing of everything and doing nothing. You follow that? And just see where that idea takes you. The idea of absolutely doing, of just being, where there's no intentionality, then there's no goal at the time. There's no striving, no trying, no getting anywhere. There's just simply this very neutral, I guess, state of just nothing. And so there are always compulsive circuits in our brains that sometimes capture us. So this is to try to be at that place where, I don't know, it's like it could be very peaceful, right? Although you don't try to be peaceful, you're doing nothing. So what is your state if you are really just doing nothing? What is the natural state of doing nothing? That's what we're pointing to here. Let's try it and see what happens. Of doing absolutely nothing for 1 minute. So do the pre-plunge process here, and that means just get the body ready. And be really present, relax, don't forget to relax. If you feel tension in your body, like consciously let it kind of go, especially in the face, the throat, shoulders, you know, let those go. Breath open, you know what I mean? Just be really settled in the body. I'll allow all the channels to be open, whatever that means to you. Let all the channels be really open so you're present in the body. And then just sort of let go of the intellectual, conceptual processes of the conceptual mind. You're just going to not worry about defining anything or characterizing anything. You're just going to have an experience. That's body, speech, and mind, is that you're present and ready, that you know what you're going to be doing. You're going to be doing nothing. It's kind of doesn't make sense to do the doing of nothing, but you know what I mean. And get ready, because we're right on the edge of it now. and we're going to go into a plunge of doing nothing. Okay? Begin. Okay, just let that sink in and notice anything about what your inner realm is like from doing that. Develop that mirror, that self-awareness mirror of seeing the results of your actions. If you find you have an inner conversation, notice what you're talking about, because that's about your interest, that's about where you go. So if you have a thought, notice that's what you're doing at the moment. Innocently observe your mind. There's a lot of self-awareness in this. In a couple of minutes, we'll do it again. Okay. See if you can finish up the writing. I don't know, it may be that if you do just one of these, it's not as effective, but if you do a whole string of these, it might actually have some power in terms of inner process of some kind. I don't know. Okay, let's do it again. The nothing. Whatever nothing means to you. Okay, so do the pre-thing. Pre-plunge practice. Body, speech, and mind. So that you're relaxed, focused, not so much into the intellect, going for a direct kind of immediate experience of what doing nothing is like, right? So be right there ready, get set, we're just going to plunge any second now, so here we go. Begin. Just notice for a moment while that experience is fresh in your memory what that was like for you. Letting it kind of sink in. Okay. So that's that one. We did that one twice. Let's do one more twice. Two times, and then take a little break so we don't kind of get tired of doing it. Maybe a 5-minute break or something where you can walk around and rejuvenate yourself, get a drink of water, whatever your calls to you. The next one I want to do is pure awareness, aware only of itself. We did this one last time. It's a kind of core one in my scheme of things. Pure awareness, aware only of itself. So awareness is this basic faculty you have that allows for conscious experience. That you to be conscious, you have to have some awareness. And it's sort of like what you're conscious of fills the field of awareness. That's sort of my model. People use the words differently. I see all sorts of variations on it. If you try to look at it, awareness and consciousness in the dictionary, they're kind of identified, or they're, you know, tangled up with each other. It's not all that clear. But I'm thinking of the basic capacity to be conscious is your awareness. If you're in the fourth stage, oblivion, sleep, a lot of people say you're not aware. And it's not like you're aware of a black field. There's just nothing, you know. But awareness is what sheds light in the universe, so to speak, as a conscious experience. So what we're going to have is consciousness, what you're conscious of, sort of let go of that and be aware of the awareness, which is the capacity to have a conscious experience. Now that's pretty tricky, so you may want to ponder that for a moment. Pure awareness, aware of itself, is like maybe like a candle that normally it just lights the room, but it also lights up itself. So it would be awareness would be that candle lighting itself, so to speak. It would be noticing that you are of there, so to speak. This awareness is so different from being like in anesthesia, where there's no awareness. There's something, when you wake up in the morning, you're aware. And what fills the awareness is what your senses give you or what your mind gives you to fill that with. So it's sort of like the basic stage upon which events and meanings occur. So imagine pure awareness, only aware of its own being, its own self. That's what we're going for, is that sense of awareness, this faculty to be conscious. Imagine being conscious of that which is what makes you conscious. Does that make sense? It might be confusing to some because it's kind of a weird thing. So anyway, pure awareness, aware of itself. See if you can get, and by pure it means that you're not having other things in your conscious sphere of subjective experience, just the awareness. So see where that takes you. Anyways, just I don't know how I'd put it any better than that. It's kind of a hard thing to talk about, but just see where it takes you. Pure awareness, aware only of itself, right? So okay, here we go. Get your body straight. Make sure you're not tensing up. Be settled on your cushion, so to speak. Let go of the tendency to conceptualize and have a running dialogue. You're going to have an immediate experience of awareness being purely aware of itself. Okay, and see where that takes you. Just see where that intention to have that experience, see where you go with that. Okay. And begin. Just let that sink in. See where that took you. This is sort of the mirror aspect of this. See what goes on from doing that. If you want to write something down, you could do that. Okay. Let's do that one more time and then take a break. All right, so don't get too tired. Some people find this tiring. I don't know if you do. Okay, this time, really now, plunge into it this time. Really give it 100%. You ready? So get your body ready. Get upright. Make sure you're relaxed. Don't tense up. You can feel the breathing, you know. You can tell if you're tensing by your breath. Body speech. Let go of the dialogue. If there is any, you're not gonna conceptualize this too much. And you're gonna be one-pointed and focused on it, and you're right on the edge, and we're gonna get ready right now. The bell will come and you will plunge. And here we go. Begin. Just get a sense of that with the post-plunge practice. See what that was like. Get that reflective quality of mind. Seeing into your inner realm. If you have attitudes or dialogues going on, just notice what they are. Because that's what happens in your mind. That's your mind. It comes from you. It's just the truth, you know. It's just what happens. And let's see. It's 9:58. Let's say 9:55. Let's reconvene. You can do some writing on your journal during that time. Get up, walk around, stretch. Drink a water, bathroom, whatever, stretch, you know, just relax, and come back here, and we'll get going at 10:05, okay? All right. Thank you all for doing this with me. Thank you. Really appreciate it. People took a break at this point. All right. Hope everybody comes back. Didn't forget about us. So, this next one is, really experimental, so I don't know whether this will work for anybody, but if you don't mind, I'll indulge my curiosity about this particular one. It came to me the other day, and I thought, I wonder if this will actually do anything. This whole thing is such an experiment. And by the way, since it's an experiment, I'd love to get data. Experiments aren't worth a darn if you don't get data back. And the data is what happened for you in relationship to this. What's good about it? What's bad about it? you know, what part of it is a dud, how it could be improved, any of those things that you want to send to me via emails or something, please do. I'm totally willing to have you, you know, be negative or be positive or be neutral, and any ideas you have, whatever. I'm totally open to being informed of how it is for you. And maybe there can be, you know, improvements of various kinds and make it more effective. My goal is to make it really effective if that's possible. Please plunge things. Okay, so here's the next one. Experience a thought as a thought. Like it, when you plunge, or any time, the mind just loves to think, you know. There's always a thought. It's hard to not have a thought. I mean, some people cultivate to the level where they can get to a place of really no thought, that clear space. But any thought that you have, you want to experience it as a thought. As if saying, this is a thought. Actually, this probably comes from the... In the Buddhist tradition, there's a thing called Satipatthana, a foundation of mindfulness. And the sutra, the Maha Satipatthana Sutra, describes how you can like walk around and go, I'm taking a step, now I'm taking the next step, now I'm looking at the tree. It's a kind of mindfulness practice they do. And out of that comes vipassana, which is insight. Because if you're fully mindful of what's happening around you, you know, if you're really connected, really fully mindful, then you begin to get insights. Whereas if you're in a cloud, you're just not as likely to have insights. So the Satipatthana energy is this one of where you notice what you're doing, why you're doing it. You know what I mean? That's that mindfulness. You're with what you do. I think that's the simplest conception of it that I have, that you're fully with what you do. So in the case of a thought, you're experiencing a thought as a thought. And when you're in, it's an interesting thing. I don't know if you can understand this the way I put it, but it's like when you first have a thought, you're identified with it. It's your message, and you're at one with it in a sense. And if you look at it and say, oh, that's a thought, then you're de-identified with it. It's a thought I had, you know, and it's out there sort of. It's de-identified. And like if you're angry, you're identified with the anger. But if you notice that anger arose in you, then you're de-identified with it. And it's really quite a different experience. If you're angry, and you're fully consumed by it, you know. But if you go, oh, wow, look at that anger. It's just vibrating through me. That's really interesting that that happened in this situation. It's really quite a different relationship to your emotional state. The same thing is true with your thinking. This is the Satipatthana essence of experiencing a thought as a thought. So I don't know what you're going to do with that, but let's just see. Let's just see what you do with that idea. Is it, you got it, what I'm trying to get at? You're going to experience a thought. So what you do is you find a thought as it occurs, right? Or you can intentionally remember something you thought and then see it as a thought. It's just, it's one of those things, the thought. What is a thought? It's this thing that appears in consciousness, right? See what it is for you. That's all. All right. So do the pre stuff now. Body, speech, and mind. Get, be here now. Relaxed and poised for a plunge. And this is experience a thought as a thought. That's what it is. When you think a thought, it's a thought. All right? And begin. okay. And now do the post-plunge process to reflect on the way your mind had to deal with that, the way your consciousness had to adjust to that, you know, that way of approaching the inner experience. Yeah, it's like, what happened? Let that sink in. Because it may not turn out to be what you thought it was, what you're going to do. You know, maybe something like, oh, it was, I didn't expect that. You know, that's okay. And it may be like, oh, Edra's completely screwed up. It's not like that at all in here. And that's cool too. I'm not looking for agreement. So if you want to do a little journal entry, feel free. So what we're doing is getting very clear of what occurs in the mind when one reflects on their own thinking. When you reflect on your own thought, your own thinking process, it's like a kind of perspective. You catch yourself in the act of thinking a certain thing by seeing your thought. So you become self-aware in another way, you know, more deeply self-aware. You kind of, with what you do, it's definitely a satipatthana kind of thing, this foundation of mindful presence in life, of being really here. And when you reach for something, you know that you're reaching for it. And when you're shifting your position, you know you're doing that. You're with the entirety of your being, in a sense. It becomes noticeable. It becomes a part of your experience. So you're really present, you know, you're really alive. You exist. You get the whole gamut of being by these kinds of practices. You know what I mean? Fullness of aliveness, of experience in the world. Fully living. Fully, fully living. So let's do it one more time. Okay, so this is experience a thought as a thought. In other words, you go into this plunge, and whatever thought you have, you experience that thought that you had. You identify it, you say, oh, it's a thought. You know, it's like that. You don't use those words, but you use that conscious state. Oh, this is a thought. And so every time you do that, it's a form of de-identification with being one with the thought. You're now seeing a thought as a phenomenon in consciousness. All right? So do the pre-plunge process, which is get your body straight, get your head balanced, get your relaxation, get the energy channels open, if that's meaningful to you. Fully be present in the body. Speech, let the conceptual mind put it in its place. For this one, you kind of put it in its place. It's going to be focused on a single thought and the awareness of the thought. And then in body, speech, mind, you're going to be fully present and anticipating the bell and being ready, being fully ready, whatever that means to you, being fully ready to dive in, to plunge. Okay, and it's going to happen any second now, so be there, be here now with this experience I thought as a thought. Begin. also do the post plunge now, letting it sink in, noticing what occurred, reflecting on a little bit. What happens when you do that? What actually happened when you did that? Cognitive clarity, you know, on what is occurring in life. And feel free to do a little journaling. Moving on. I don't know if we did this one last time or not. Did we do be on the leading edge of the unfolding moment? I don't think we did that one. No. So, okay. This is actually a pair of them that I think of as the impermanence pair. It's and what it is there's two of them, and they kind of, I don't know, they seem to go together. One of them is this about the now, of the experience of being present in the now. And the first one is be on the leading edge of the unfolding present. In other words, there is this change that's occurring all the time. The clock is ticking, or there's this natural human experience along those lines. Whether it's an ultimacy or not, one could argue, but the idea that this moment is different from the previous moment, even in subtle ways. It's, you know, it's the next moment, you know the past, and that the future is kind of coming at you in a sense and then arrives. There's the now, and the now has this, what Terence McKenna called the ingression of novelty, which I really attached to. I thought that was so cool. So there's this ingression of novelty that occurs right at the leading edge of the now, if that makes any sense to you. There's a sense of an unfolding newness up where the this moment is fresh, every moment being fresh as the novelty emerges out of this moment, right? There's this ongoing change that occurs. So the now is in a sense impermanent, in the sense of, you know, it's, you're a second older than you were. The body's a second older than it was, that kind of thing. So what I want you to do for this one is simply to be on the leading edge of the unfolding present. So what you want to do is be right in the nexus of change from now to the next now. Just see what happens. You know what I mean? Be open to see what happens when you try to catch the immediate nextness of time. Like, I just said that a minute ago, but now it's now, you know? So it's like it's going on, right? And you want to be on that edge. What's that? What is it like to be on that edge? And just as an experience, okay? All right, let's try it. See if I'm crazy or not. Okay, so get ready. Do the pre-plunge process, which is body, speech, and mind. I'm saying that for new arrivals, by the way. That's body, speech, and mind. So the body is in a meditation orientation, you know, the way meditators sit. And the energy channels being open, relaxation, so the energy channels are open in the body. Speech means you get rid of the dialogue, the ongoing discourse in your mind. You get to set that aside in a way so you're just present. And then you can have a more direct experience than through the intellect. And mind is that you're fully focused and concentrating one-pointedly on this particular thing and not distracted. Right, so you're with what you do. You're mindful in this moment. And you're going to do being on the leading edge of the unfolding present. Right, that's what you're going to be on this, right at that edge. You're going to lean into the future, so to speak, slightly. Just a little bit. All right, so you ready? Okay, be on the precipice here. Ready for plunging. And begin. Okay. So just let that sink in. See what that was like. Mirror, what was that like for you? See what comes out of that question. What was that like for me? That's what fills your mind. You can write something down if you want. Take a minute. Let's try it one more time. See if you can kind of tease out something from doing this. There's a certain kind of inner experiences we're getting, right? As we see the nature of mind, and it's just got a complex landscape in there, and these are like these little takes on it, how the mind works from inner experience. Okay, so we're going to do it again. The leading edge of the unfolding present. Just lean into it a little bit. Watch what happens as the now becomes the next now, or the future now becomes the present now, however you side of the edge you want to look at it from. Watch that instant of novelty. All right. So be present. Do all those pre-things. And get ready, because it's about to start. Be really here, one-pointed. The leading edge of the now. And begin. Just let that sink in and see what that was like for you. You know, it could be anything. It could be like it's really good, and it could also be really confusing at the same time. You know, it could be like, whoa, what's going on here? It doesn't have to be any sort of conclusions. It's just what you get when you do that. You know, there's this thing in Zen, there's a vow or something. There are like an infinite number, maybe it's a large number, I don't remember the number, of Dharma doors, and I vow to go through all of them. I can't think of these as sort of Dharma doors. They're entrances into certain contemplative spaces that edify and clarify the nature of one's mind. So you just become informed, deeply informed about the workings of your own mind so that you can gain some purchase on it, can maybe take charge in certain areas. The more clear it is you are about the nature of your own mind, this is like the more likely you can make your life better by making good choices and things like that, and not getting all tangled up in the past, for instance, and acting out dramas that, you know, don't count anymore, really, once you reflect on it, you know. You got this sort of like liberation from a lot of stuff if you have a lot of knowledge, inner knowledge of the workings of your own mind. You know all that. I don't know why I have to tell you. I don't have to tell you. Okay, this is sort of like its brother or sister. It's or non-binary companion nowadays. And it's be on the trailing edge of the now as it slips into the past. It's sort of the mirror of this. Okay? In other words, this now also gets, it's like your boat wake. It's what has now become a memory from the now. And the new now is has left that behind, so to speak, as a moving finger writes across the landscape. It leaves behind a trace. So what you want to do is watch it leave, so to speak. Watch the now. Notice the now flowing into being the past. Is that too weird? I don't know. I can hardly do this one. And I tried and tried. It's, for me, but some people, a couple of people said, no, they get it and it's really good. But I kind of go crazy with it. So be aware of what just occurred in consciousness and keep very close to that as you watch it become the past. But there's this issue of staying within the now, watching the past. It's very confusing. See what you can do with it, though. It has a kind of interesting symmetry to the other one. Okay, so see what you can do with that. So get your body ready. Get your mind ready. And be on this point of the plunge, right? Take a breath. Get ready. Here we go. Begin. Okay, so reflect on what happened there. Let that sink in. What happened when you did that? This might have an effect of being able to let go of things that happened in the past when you see the transition into the past so clearly. It maybe make it easier, you know how sometimes things dog you for a while, but they're really a part of the past. There's an old phrase like, there was a past, but there is no past now, is sort of like in that realm, you know, where things that happened in the past, you can let them go because where are they, you know? So this might help with that, I'm not sure. All right, try it one more time. See if we go deeper with it. Being aware of this trailing edge of the now as it slips into the past, whatever that means to you. Okay, get ready. Be focused on it. Here we go. 1 minute. Begin. That was like for you. All right, so I think we have time for maybe two more of these. So one of them I think I found helpful for myself, and I kind of expect to be helpful for others, is be willing to experience. Be willing to experience. And that's an interesting one, because a lot of people feel the need to kind of safe port themselves to, because of an unwillingness maybe to experience the full gamut of one's own emotions or feelings. So imagine, if you will, a state in which you are willing to experience just anything. And there's a number of teachers and teachings around this, that one's sort of the aperture of a willingness to be alive opens, you know, where if you're willing to experience emotions, you know, feelings or situations, you know, guilt, you know, like all the thing, if you're more willing to experience that, you're less vulnerable. You know what I mean? To the degree that you're de-identified enough, you can experience anything and realize that it's just phenomena of sorts. It's the play of cosmic energy in your nervous system, you know. So the being willing to experience anything. See if you can just momentarily, anyway, entertain that, and see if you could find that place where you would be okay, that you could experience just anything. And maybe just open that willingness to be alive, you know, to be here, given the realities that exist. So it's being willing to experience. That's what this one is. See if you can find that place in you that can at least hints at this. And maybe you can go all the way there for just a moment. You don't have to make a vow. You can say, yeah, I could imagine being willing to experience, but I don't want to, you know. So that's it, being willing to experience all the conditions, all the idiocy, all your fears, all everything. Being willing, just fully willing to have a conscious experience, just for a moment, taste that, see what that's like. Okay, no commitment to it. Just it's just in you, right? It's just in you. Could you get to that? Find that place where you would really, truly be willing to experience anything. See what happens if you do that. Okay? All right. Get your preliminaries going. And get that focus. Get ready to plunge. Are you ready? Willing to experience. Begin. Let's sink in for a moment. Okay. So, you know, it's not just the negative things. Also, sometimes people have times really experience positive things, like truly being loved or being cared about or being honored, being appreciated. Sometimes it's not willing to, somehow there's a little resistance to that kind of thing too, or being noticed, being willing to be really seen, or to have judgments, other people have judgments about you, positive or negative, willing to have that happen, willing to have your plans fall through or your plans to be successful. This is something about the engagement to life where those impulses of judgment, you could let go of those, and it's just like being in this flow, like being in the Tao, like being fully willing to experience this now, whatever it is, with no boundaries on it. What's that like, to have that kind of a state where it's not all defined by goals and preferences and clingings and, you know, intentions, and just allowing yourself to experience whatever arises in the field. Not that you have to be willing, but just you ought to know about that state, you know. Then you can make a judgment about how you employ that, whether you do that or when you do that or how you do that. It's up to you. But it's nice to have contact with that experience, you know, so that you have a reference point, so to speak, you know. Just knowing more about the nature of mind. So let's do one more. Time of this one. Being willing to experience fully, flat out, just being willing to experience this, whatever this happens to be at the moment. All right? Okay, here we are. Do your body, speech, and mind. Be ready. Be right on that edge. Here we go. You're going to explore this, being willing to experience anything. Go there. I found that's one of the themes that I've been trying to honor for a long time, was my willingness to experience. That's like for me, that really has been instrumental in how I live. It kind of takes a lot of the reactivity out. We go into all sorts of spins about things, you know. It's like you're willing to experience as a form of surrender, and it's a form of acknowledgement of the reality that there's all this independent choice in the world. People make all sorts of choices. Situations occur you didn't plan on. There's just a myriad number of things that arise in your experience, and your willingness is just sort of an openness to live life more fully rather than put up shields, means that there's something you do inside where you de-identify with those reactive elements in you, so that the willingness is the solving of those reactive elements. You know what I mean? It's the same act. The willingness to experience eliminates reactivity directly, because whatever, you know, Whereas if you don't want something, then it builds that sense of, oh, now that it happened, and you freak out because of that resistance. So it's like eliminating that resistance is a willingness to experience. And it's like a dimension of mind that it actually helps you live, and you're less vulnerable by being more willing to experience. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't create conditions where you won't experience negative things. I mean, it's not like that. It's like as you're innocently moving through life, things will occur, and the willingness to have those things happen eliminates a whole level of tendency to be reactive and freaked out and injured in a sense psychologically from them. That sense of strength that comes from willingness to experience is really quite powerful. All right, so we have time for just this one more. And my wife keeps encouraging me to do this wish everyone well. And I think it's a nice one to finish our session on. And so wishing everyone well, no exceptions, everybody. Or to the degree that you can, obviously. And wishing others well means to find that the sincere one of those, the real one, not just the, you know, like, okay, give Aunt Agnes a kiss because you're supposed to. It's not that one. It's the real heart of life is to, internally, they talk in this particular teacher talks about your inherent state of enlightenment that's sort of always there, but it got covered up by all sorts of thoughts and experiences and judgments and whatever. It's hidden, but that there's this intrinsic enlightenment that exists deep in our hearts. It's already there. It's already fully developed. There's nothing you have to do to create it. It's just uncovering your natural goodness, your natural sense of appreciation of life. And then what happens is that gets suppressed and lost by events and meanings, troubles and everything, or confusions, whatever. It gets overlaid and hidden. But that this enlightened intent, not the intention to get enlightened, but your already pre-existing enlightened intent is there. And what this does is, and part of that is this wishing that others are happy, that they're successful, that they're not troubled, that they're not being ruined by life. You know, wishing everyone well is that sentiment that says, yeah, I wish everybody had the benefit of the greatest good fortunes, you know, I wish. And so it's prayer-like in a way, wishing everyone well. And so, but it has to come out of sincerity. It can't be just something made up. You have to really see that you do, in fact, wish others well. So that's the essence of this one, is to see if you can find the truth, the ultimate truth of your wishing others well. All right? And see if you can just dwell in that for a moment and make contact with it and kind of enrich the field with that. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. All right, so get ready. And we're going to body, speech, and mind. Right. We're going to see, we're just going to wish everyone well. All right. Ready? Begin. Okay. Let that sink in and notice what doing that did. See where you're at with that. I guess we have to run over just a couple of minutes, so we'll do it one more time and then call it a day. All right, let's do one more time, yeah? It's a nice note to end on. At the end of lots of spiritual practices, there's the wishing others well. There's the sharing the merits of the practice that you do. It's kind of along those lines, you know. And if there are conditions on wishing others well, just notice that. You know, like, I'll wish them well if they weren't having that political idea or something. That one's up for a lot of people. You know, the people who are doing bad things must be living in a very inner place, a very uncomfortable inner place, to be doing lots of terrible things. So in a way, it's good to wish them well so they can get out from under that stuff, you know, wishing that would happen so they could be truly happy and wouldn't have to be so crazy. You know, it's like that. All right. Okay, so here we go. Sorry for interrupting that. Begin. Okay. Kind of absorb that. See where you're at with it. You can be utterly honest to yourself. All right, so I guess that kind of completes what we were setting out to do. I hope it was beneficial to you. That's the reason I'm doing it. It's because I'm thinking maybe somebody will find benefit from it, and it's worth it, and it's kind of fun in itself. It is fun. It's kind of a trip to delve into these things and just get these tastes of these altered spaces of consciousness, and maybe to illuminate certain areas, ways we can grow, you know, ways we can bring our spiritual nature into life. And it's a part of a process of discovering the nature of mind and being really clear about the nature of our own minds, how they work, how it works, you know, how our own minds work. And maybe avenues of how we can improve or have insight into various things we do. You know, it's just an enriching of that understanding of ourselves. So I got a whole bunch of these, and we'll do another session or two of this, at least, and if you're totally welcome, it's free, you know, it's only a couple hours on a Saturday. So in a couple of weeks, I'll send out another link, and anybody wants to come, I mean, I'll send out a notice, and anybody wants to come, just respond, and I'll send a link, and I'll send people updates, and if you want to have a copy of the audio recording of this, I'm going to have one available. You know, once I kind of clean it up a little bit, so it's kind of flows a little smoothly, and then you can listen to it. The one for the first session is available. If anybody wants it, just let me know. the first time we did it. It was a little more rambling. It's a little more focused this time. I'm learning a little more about it. So, and any feedback you have, I'm really open to. I honestly really want to know how it is for you, whether it works or doesn't work, what part works, what part doesn't work, how it could be improved. That's it. I don't have any more to say, I guess, other than I wish you well. And mm-hmm. watch for another one of these coming around. And if you want to do them on your own, feel free. I send out that little paper of some suggested ones. And if you think of one you like from your spiritual tradition that you're already involved in, if you figure there's one of those you'd really like to do a plunge on, just go ahead and do it. And tell me about it. If something really works for you, I'd add it to the list, you know. There's so many of these really marvelous teachings that are out there. There's so many really wonderful Dharma doors, you know, to go through to enrich our understanding of how our mind works. And so we'll just keep doing that until we really know ourselves and know the way our minds work. You know, can't hurt. And if anybody wants to stay around for a while and talk with each other, I'll leave the thing open. And you can just have conversations with each other if you like. Okay? All right. Thank you all very much for doing this.
Thanks a lot, Edward.
It was really nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Edward.
All right, yeah.
Appreciate you.
My pleasure.